Good evening. If you want, you can turn in your Bibles right away to 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll look at that in just a moment. 1 Peter chapter 5. I've always been fascinated by lions, gigantic creatures, truly kings of the wild, of the jungle. I've been in awe at the power and strength these creatures possess, and it's no wonder that we've actually used them as symbols of power and strength and representation of majesty. Many cultures, in fact, have done that. Many cultures have used lions for various purposes. But because of their power and their strength and their majesty, they, of course, represent that very well. I didn't know a whole lot about them, except for what most everybody knows, and that is their teeth are quite long, their claws are quite sharp, and they are large beasts. But in the past couple of weeks, actually, just thinking of Gary and your leadership, brother, thank you very much for your leadership. And considering 1 Peter 5 and then a little bit of what we've been talking about in actually the God Creator class, it brought me to that text, considering Satan himself, how cunning, clever he is, and what is said from the Holy Spirit through Peter in verse 8. And we'll take a look at that in just a second. Consider with me just a few things about lions that are actually quite pertinent to what we'll be talking about in just a moment. Again, they're claws are sharp, their teeth are long. Yes, we got that, right? There's a few other things that I found very fascinating. You know that they can get to about 4 foot tall? They can get up to about 600 pounds in weight. They have, again, teeth that are very long and sharp, but they actually have three types of teeth in their mouth. The canines in front are meant to bite and pierce. The ones in the middle are actually types of molars for crushing bone. And the ones in the back act as scissors, and they can cut meat just like it's nothing. It's remarkable. Their tongues actually have spines on them that are reversed backwards. So that if they lick bone, they can actually just carve the rest of the meat off like it's nothing. In fact, they've proven that, I'm sure not from actual study of this happening, but they've been able to demonstrate from other types of meat that if they could just lick your hand just a few times, they would actually lick the skin right off, just a few licks, just because their tongue has those types of spines that can do that. I found that fascinating. Their bite strength is about 500 pounds per square inch. There was a pediatric doctor who actually did a study on helmets for children. And he found that a skull could actually be crushed at about 520 pounds per square inch. It means that a lion basically could crush in one bite your entire head. That's remarkable. Why is it that in 1 Peter, within the context of trying to tell these folks, these people, that shepherds ought to act as shepherds and sheep ought to act as sheep, and trying to basically describe the characteristics of shepherds and of sheep, why is it that he wants them to remain alert, be of sober mind, and why is it that he uses the lion as the one to represent Satan in this text? Take a look at it with me, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be of sober spirit and be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Not just a lion, he says, but a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Now consider that with me for just a second. And let's actually consider it in more of a literal manner, and not just a spiritual matter, but a literal manner. If a lion were to come through those doors, and don't worry, I don't have any props, the actual lions coming through those doors. But if a lion were to come through those back doors right now, how many of us men would it take to take that thing down? Dan, you and I, Michael, Sid, you know, Andrew, could we take this thing down? We'll feed him Don. How about that? Could we take this thing down? Goodness, no. How about seven or eight of us? Jed, you jump in the mix, brother. Brian, you want to get in there? I won't ask any of the ladies to fight any lions tonight, only the men. But could we take this thing down? How about 15 guys? Let's just settle at that. Let's just say a lion comes through those doors. We got to take it down. No weapons, nothing. We just got to get this thing down. How about 15 of us? Can we just doggy pile on top of it? Think about that. How about if we had weapons, maybe knives, you know, maybe just something that we could really defend ourselves with? How many people would it take then? How about 10 of us? Can we do it, men? 10 of us with knives, swords, spears, anything that it would take. How about if we actually had weapons and we had armor as well? Do you see where I'm going with this? It'd probably take 5, maybe 4, maybe 3, maybe less. Maybe if we had armor, we had spears, we had weapons, we had something to defend ourselves from this lion that's coming in that door. Do you see where I'm going with this? How about Ephesians 6 and verse 11? Ephesians 6 and verse 11. How can we defend amongst such an adversary? In Ephesians 6 and verse 11, it says, "Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." And what is that armor in particular that he mentions as he goes on? Remember the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. Remember those? I had to have studied those at some point as a kid. Hopefully recently too. But what I'm trying to get at is just having thought about the text there in 1 Peter, such a worthy adversary. He is a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. What I really want you to understand is that Peter wants them to really think about how great an adversary he is, but yet at the same token, how well we can do together at defending ourselves against this adversary. What is the very next verse in 1 Peter chapter 5? Go back there. 1 Peter chapter 5. "But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world." It's not just us within, you know, these doors. They're actually experiencing some of the same, you know, opportunities to defend Satan, but it's everybody in the world. Have you ever thought about that? It's not just 15 guys that are really trying to tackle Satan, but it's everybody who has put on, you know, that armor and has really tried hard, in fact, to fend off Satan. Well, there's some other things I want you to take a look at and considering how we can defend ourselves against Satan. Look at Nehemiah chapter 3. In Nehemiah chapter 3, it's fascinating to me that when they rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem, the way that it's described, and some of it seems so mundane because you can read through it and you say, okay, this guy did this, you know, this craftsman did this, he rebuilt this door, and this guy worked on this section, this guy worked on that section. But I want you to notice in chapter 3 of Nehemiah, we'll start in verse 7. Actually, let's back up to verse 4. And the names are kind of tricky at times, so just bear with me on that. "Next to them, Meremoth, the son of Uriah, the son of Hakaz, made repairs. And next to him, Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, the son of Meshezabel, made repairs." Verse 5. What's that phrase there that's used so many times? "And next to him." Verse 7, "and next to them." Verse 8, "next to him." Verse 9, "and next to them." How did they rebuild the wall of Jerusalem? And of course, you'll learn later, actually, in Nehemiah, that they had to fend off enemy, in fact. Brick in one hand, you know, spear in the other, in essence. They did it together. That's how they did it. They did it together. They had a mind to work. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6, "So we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." They had a mind to work, and they worked on it together. How do we defend against a lion, a worthy adversary? Well, we do it together. We do it together. We try to help each other, to uplift each other, to encourage one another. We use the weapons that God gives us to defend against them, and then again, we next to him and next to them, we work together in defending this worthy adversary. Well, I hope that encourages you, not just to think about lions from here on out, and not that your Wildcats aren't playing basketball right now as I speak. But the fact that the description there in 1 Peter 9 is a serious description of a being that truly wishes to bring you down and devour you, and that you cannot do it alone, especially without Jesus Christ, but also without one another. So together, we can fight against this adversary. If you don't have that type of unity in Christ with us, we'd love to have that with you, if you would consider it as we stand and sing this song.
Let me be